America, we can.
You can't keep us here, man. You gotta let us go.
We're not keeping you. You're just staying.
Shoot who is left.
Let him bleed.
Get ready to run.
Here we go.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film Green Room.
Unless there is an absolutely astounding second half of 2016, I've most likely seen at least three of my top 10 films of the year in the last month alone. The Neon Demon is one, Whit Stillman's Love and Friendship is another, and now I dare you to bear anything more intense than this week's focus, the flat-out great Green Room from writer-director Jeremy Saulnier. Starring the late Anton Yelchin and, to complete the Star Trek connection, a quietly malevolent Patrick Stewart, Green Room, like the director's Blue Ruin before it, almost never makes a misstep, yet barrels towards its conclusion via unique and interesting avenues. Predictable, it's not. A destitute and vagabond punk band gets screwed over on a gig in a small Oregon town, strapped for cash. They agree to a one-time deal that would have them playing for neo-Nazi skinheads at an exclusive club in the woods. Soon after completing their somewhat defiant set, they witness something in the club's green room that they shouldn't have seen, and despite calm assurances from the management, the band comes to the realization that they may not leave the area alive. Green Room also stars Imogen Poots, and it's a violent, perfectly paced thriller. Ed, back over to you.
Thanks, Mark. And as always, don't forget to check out Mark's terrific website. You can read all of his long-form reviews. Simply go to reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And as always, Mark will be back next week. When was the last time you went and got gas for your car? I bet you had an easier time than I did. And just because of the inherent way I have to get gas where I live, I essentially live on planet Xenon. Yes, the one place in the world where you're not allowed to self-serve. Fill your own tank. It is so foreign to me. I had to go out to Ohio a couple of weeks ago, so I'm driving along in Pennsylvania and in Ohio, and it's you drive in and, ooh, look at this, I have to do it myself. And like you do wherever you live, you walk inside the convenience store section of the gas station and you give the guy a $20 bill and say, pump eight, whatever. Or you stand outside and you swipe your card and you do it and off you go. Well, in New Jersey, we're not allowed to pump our own gas for some strange reason. So there is an attendant and you have to tell him how much gas you want. If you don't want to fill up, you give him a numerical amount, $20. So that's what I did. This happened twice in a couple of weeks, so it's kind of interesting and it's kind of curious, and it happened at the same station along the Garden State Parkway. So off I am, trying to get to the studio one afternoon, so I'm essentially late for work, and I need to be on the air in 40 minutes, and it's about a 45-minute drive, so I better move it. But I need gas. I had a $20 bill on me. Didn't want to stop at a bank, didn't have time to deal with all that at an ATM or whatever, and I really don't trust handing them my card at these stations either, because there's been incidents of phishing in New Jersey with people using their cards at gas stations. Anyway, so I drive in, and I'm thinking, okay, I got a $20 bill, let me get $15 worth of gas, then I got a $5 bill left, I can get some coffee up at the commissary at work. So I say to the guy, 15 regular cash. So I'm in the car, and I look back as I'm realizing it's taking quite a lot of time to put $15 worth of gas into my car, and I see we're up to 17, here's 18. By the time I get out of the car and go and stop it on myself manually, and I'm breaking the law in doing it, but I don't care at this point, it's at 19.02. And he comes over, and he looks dumbfounded. I said, 15? Oh, you didn't say 20? No, there's a big difference between 15 and 20. So, you know what? I was not going to stand there and argue. I let him give me back $1 for my $20 bill. Off I went. I had my gas, but my coffee idea was ruined. A couple of weeks later, I go back into the same station, thinking that was an oddity, an anomaly, a fluke. Mm-mm. I had my $20 bill. Same deal. I'm running late. All right, 15, and I'll get my coffee when I get to work. Well, I turn around, and all of a sudden, I see I'm up to 23 and 24. So here I go again, jumping out of the car, and I gotta hit it. Somebody else. I said 15. Oh, you didn't want it filled? No, I didn't. And at this point, I felt like I was suckered a couple of weeks before, whenever it was. I was not going to let it happen again. I said no. I said 15. And I even gave him like a 1 and a 5 with my hands, kind of like an NBA referee announcing who the foul was on. And I would only pay $15. And he looked at me. I said, if you have a problem with it, get your manager. or get the police. And he turned as red as a beet and gave me my change, and off I went. Nice little scam that could be going on there. Or, you know what, I just don't feel like making change, so I just give him a little more. What's the difference? When you want $15 worth of gas, you're only willing to pay for $15 worth of gas. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, go get another job. Maybe you shouldn't be dealing in a customer service type of relationship that a gas attendant is. It gets back to the main idea, though, that why in New Jersey do we have to suffer having to have people pump our gas? Really? I wonder how the guys who own these stations feel about it, that they have to employ people to simply do something that everybody else is doing all across the country. It is stupid, it is dumb, and it sets people up for situations like this. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Kalenge.
America Weekend!
Order in the court!
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Diane had just paid her fare on a city bus and was beginning to sit down when it pulled away from the curb. She fell and hurt her back, so she sued the city for her pain and injuries. But in court, the city proved that the bus was operating in a safe manner because the driver did not swerve dangerously away from the curb. Who do you think won this case? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Although it was proven that the driver didn't swerve dangerously, it is still the driver's duty to wait until Diane had a chance to sit down before moving the bus. Diane won, and that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So does your child like to be tickled? Well, it can do wondrous bonding things. Here's what a physiological tickle is and the science of it. First, a tickle is any attempt to defend the body's vulnerable parts, and you can't tickle yourself. Well, maybe a little. Second, only when the tickler is perceived as harmless will a person enjoy a tickle. What's the cheap psychological trick? When you tickle your child, they trust you. They believe you. They believe you will not harm them. They are surrendering themselves to you. They laugh because they love you. Between parent and child, this is an inviolate trust. Do it right, and it can facilitate a lifetime of love and bonding. Do it wrong, cross the line, and a simple tickle can turn into a lifetime of separation. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.